We left off last week. We were discussing the sugya of Sukkah Yeshana, which really had two different parts to it. Sukkah Yeshana being the sukkah that wasn't made specifically for the purposes of sukkah. It was made earlier on in the year, not within 30 days before sukkah, so not necessarily for the purpose of sukkah. So the two parts of the sugya. One is the Meshama's version of the Sukkah Yeshana, which was that it's a psula, it's psula min haTorah. And that opened up a whole question about how that works and what the nature of the psul is and why does the psul change within 30 days. And then you have the second half of the sukkah, which we're up to now. That's the view of Beis Hillel, which holds that a sukkah yeshana is technically okay. That min haTorah, a sukkah yeshana seems to be all right. But nevertheless, there is a statement of the Rishalmi. It doesn't appear in the Bible, but a statement of the Rishalmi that tzarech lechadesh b'davar. That was what we left off. Take a look at the bottom of the front page. The ninth in Ramakomos, Tosos makes reference to Yerushalmi. The ninth in Ramakomos, Sukkah Yeshana Beis Hillel Machshir, and even though the Mishnah says that Beis Hillel accept the Sukkah, that's an old Sukkah, Yerushalmi taught it, Yerushalmi adds on, Tzach L'chadish Badover, that you have to add on a little bit to the Schach for the purposes of Sukkah, and then Yerushalmi says a very, very small amount, a Tefach, maybe less than a Tefach, but again, you need some kind of a Chiddush Dover. The question we left hanging was, what is this based on? What's the source for this idea of adding on a Chiddush Dover? So the Mishnah Bura, in the 10th of the Rama Kobos, is quick to tell us that Hainu L'chadchila, that it's only a L'chadchila, and that's page of the 10th of the Rama Kobos, Ula Mitzvah B'Alma. It's only a Mitzvah L'chadchila. What was the purpose of it? K'dei Shelo Yavo L'Hat Yafilo Sabr Chila Shem Dira. Because if we let you get away with the Sukkah that was made for non-sukkah purposes, so what may happen is, you may end up using your house itself. If the person has a house, he has a little bit of the ceiling is not so great. It's basically made up of small planks of wood. Because remember, we spoke about in the past, in the Torah, technically, if the planks of wood are small, even if they're bottom, they're very small, they're going to be okay. So in theory, a person could make the mistake that a house is also good for a sukkah, which is clearly not the case, because it has to be not l'shem dira. The sukkah was made l'shem dira, it's called l'shona, so that became a very big problem. We spoke about this in previous sugya. That's not a sukkah, that's a bias. The Torah describes in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov makes houses and he has to make sukkahs. It says, Vayivin lo bayis, l'bekinei wasa sukkos. So sukkah is not a bayis, a bayis is not a sukkah. So if something was made for a dira kalashana, that's not acceptable. So we're afraid that if a person uses a sukkah that wasn't made for the purpose of yantif, so next thing you know, he's going to end up using the sukkah of kalashana. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, they insisted that you have to touch up the schach a little bit. And to what extent you have to touch it up, and what if you didn't touch it up? So if you take a look at the 11th of the Mar Makomos, the Mishnah Bura in the Shaar HaTzion, in his notes at the bottom of the Mishnah Bura, so the Chavetz Chaim, the Mishnah Bura himself writes that Magen Avram v'Tazvin v'Shalom v'Chayon v'Bikur Yaakov to loke Beis Yosef to Sfilah to L'chol HaPos Mule Ikuva. The Beis Yosef is a Chiddush Gadol that if you don't do Chiddush Dover, it's Mamash Ba'achim v'Diyavid. I mean, it's not even good even after the fact. And the Mishnah Berurah says nobody else holds it. All the Gedol HaChorom, the consensus view is that this is only a Din Midirabbanan. It's a Din Midirabbanan that wasn't said on a level of B'diyavid. So this is the, in a sense, conventional wisdom. This is Luchara, what we think the Pshat is. This is the simple Pshat in the Gedol HaPoskim, where this Din of Chiddush Davar comes from. Nevertheless, there's an entirely different approach to the notion of Chiddush Davar that's based on something entirely different, nothing at all to do with the Gezeira Derabanan, but it actually may almost lift up this Din of Chiddush Davar into the realm of Inah D'Oraisa, but it's not a Din in the Chefts of the Sukkah per se, it's more the Din in the Gavra. Gavra has to do with Chiddush Davar. So this idea is suggested, it appears in Seif Mu'ad Muzmanim in Rav Sternbach. I had the opportunity last night, so I was at a chasuka last night, one of my wife's relatives. So Rav Sternbach's son was there at the chasuka, and his grandson, one of his grandsons was there also. So I didn't know them, I'd met with them, I hadn't spoken to them before, but other things. So I was speaking to his son for about a good 20 minutes last night. So Chaval, I didn't ask you about this. We were talking, the problem is we were talking about the problems, good thing. We're talking more about Pesach, more about Sukkot. So it slipped my mind that I was about to quote his father. I could have gotten some good insight into this discussion. So I was talking about a ktzos relevant for Chometz and Shalchon, Rishusa and Shalom. So we had a whole nice Slavic conversation. Problem is when I talk to somebody, he doesn't speak English. So I felt I was Sturmbach speaks English. He speaks English better than I speak English. He's from England originally. But by the time, a few generations later, I wasn't sure how good the English was. So I'm always at a disadvantage, so even though I can't, Baruch Hashem, I can still talk in Hebrew. I still can't talk as fast in Hebrew as I can English. So he was coming down, and I was trying to defend my, the shtickle Torah I was saying. So I felt like I was at the, he was always two steps ahead of me because I couldn't get the words out fast enough. But anyway, we had a nice, beautiful conversation already. But Chaval, I would have realized, I would have remembered as I talked about this this morning, I would have mentioned this. So in the Sefer, Muadim Uzmanim, so he suggests a fascinating idea that I think the others who have before him also, but I think this is why I saw it, a fascinating idea that maybe this idea of Chiddush Davar doesn't relate to the Chefetz of the Sukkah per se, but relates to the Gavra. What's the meaning of the Gavra? So there is already a question, back to the days of the Rishonim, about the Mitzvah Sukkah. A very, very basic question about the Mitzvah Sukkah. We know that if we had to define what the Mitzvah Sukkah is, it's pretty obvious. Sukkah is Teshuv. Shiva's Yom, Yeshiva Basukha, eating, sleeping, other things, whatever the word yeshiva means. But the mitzvah is a yeshiva basukha. When does the mitzvah of sukkah begin? It begins on sukkah's night. Begins the night of the 15th, goes for the 7 days, whatever it is. That's the zman of the mitzvah of sukkah's day, Shiva's Yom. What about prior to sukkah? What about before sukkah? Is there any mitzvah of sukkah before? Obviously, there's no mitzvah of yeshiva basukha before. That's absurd. What is that? Is there a mitzvah of asiyas sukkah? Is there a mitzvah to make a sukkah? Does that mitzvah even exist on the radar screen? Is there a mitzvah, essay, shal Torah, shal asiyah sukkah or not? So, from the parasha of sukkah's teish for shivas yomim, it says clearly not. It means, obviously, you have to have a sukkah. If you don't have a sukkah, if nobody bothers building a sukkah, it's going to be very hard for you to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah's teish for shivas yomim. But if that's all it is, the only reason why I'm building a sukkah is to facilitate my fulfillment of the mitzvah's essay in the Shiva Pesukah, that would be what's labeled in Halacha a machshire mitzvah. That's a preparatory stage. That's something that's necessary. In reality, it's necessary in order to enable me to fulfill the mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah per se. It's like mashma b'mitzvah. Torah says Yom Tshuva Yelochem, you have to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So obviously, a guy can't wake up Rosh Hashanah morning and say, okay, great, ooh, wow, the Rosh Hashanah just told me, Yom Tshuva Yelochem, great, where's the shofar? There's no shofar. Where's that? You can't shech the animal now, get the shofar now, you can't go to the store. So you have, obviously, common sense dictates that you have to take the preparatory stages beforehand in order to make sure that you have a shofar. So that's true by many, many mitzvahs. That's called a machshira mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to buy a shofar. It's not a mitzvah to make a shofar. It's a reality. It's a mitzvah that if you don't have the shofar, you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah. So is that all that sukkah is? That's it. Hakalichon. That's all sukkah is. It's just a practical reality to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Or maybe I should argue that the very building of the sukkah itself is also considered to be almost like a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So there is a comment of the Shiltos. I didn't put that on the Mamakam. It says the Shiltos at the very, very end of the Sefer Shal. The Shiltos was written by Rabbi Choy Gon. When in the period of the Gaonim, he wrote, it's almost like many Rabbanim give Shiurim, and I shall also give it to Bin Chamayim Shabbos afternoon about some sugya in the parsha. So the Gaonim did the same thing. So Rabbi Choy Gon used to give a Shiur every Shabbos about some sugya and the dinim related to the parsha. And then it was written up by Rabbi Choy Gon. He wrote up his Shiurim, Shiltos, and it goes Mamash Kaseir HaParshias. So at the end of the Shiltos, he has some things on the Yom Tovim also. So the Shiltos, this goes back, you're talking about back to before the days of Rashi, well before the days of the Rif, before the days of Rashi. So the Shiltos has a Lashon, when he's speaking about what a Jew is supposed to do on Sukkahs, so he writes, the Mechaiva de Beis Yisrael, the Mevon Metalalt, Metalalt Bidu Sukkah, that a Jew is obligated to make a Sukkah, Ulemesa Beis Shivaz Yom, and to sit in the Sukkah for 7 days. So if I was presenting, if I was defining what the mitzvah is, the goal of the Shilta is to summarize what the mitzvah is. So he doesn't say there's a mitzvah is yeshiva b'sukkah and then figure out on your own how to get a sukkah. He starts off by saying mitzvah's essay to make a sukkah. And then he says, and there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. So you almost get the impression, already the early Achor Menim Medayik from the Shiltas, you almost get the impression that there's mamish a mitzvah b'fnei atzma of building a sukkah. Where did this mitzvah come from? So the answer is, this is a throwback to what we spoke about already many times. There are really two different parshas of sukkah in the Torah. There's Basukas Teishva Shivas Yom of Parshas Emor. From the words Basukas Teishva Shivas Yom, you don't see anything about a mitzvah, asiyas, or binias of sukkah. But there's another parsha, in Parshas Re'eh, Chag HaSukkos Tas Alucha Shivas Yomim. So if you were translating that phrase, Tas Alucha, how would you translate it? The literal translation means you should commemorate, you should observe. Ta'as al-Lucha means you should observe the holiday of Tabernacles. So the Gemara doesn't take it that way, because the Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah, there's a din of tasav lo mina osoi, that when you build a sukkah, when you construct the schach, so the sukkah has to be built, it can't come about on its own. That's what the Gemara Mishnah says later on in the first part of sukkah. There's a big pile of straw on the ground, and you go ahead and you bring a bulldozer and you knock out the middle, and now, lo and behold, now you have walls on the sides, and they have schach on top, but I didn't put the schach there. I removed the middle, which now created the schach memela, so that sukkah is posel min haTorah, because that's called tasav lo min haOsur. The schach didn't have a din asiyah. The schach has to be brought about derech asiyah, derech maisa gavra. So you see that Chazal understood that the word ta'asa doesn't just mean to commemorate, to observe the week of sukkah. It means physical making, make the sukkah. So that's what the Shilta says, that there are two different mitzvahs of sukkah. There's the mitzvah asiyas sukkah, and then there's the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. Asiyas sukkah has to be done based on the pesukim in Parshas Re'eh, and then the yeshiva sukkah has to be done based on the pesukim in Parshas Emor. So it comes of Shturbach and says, that's true, that there's a mitzvah of asiyas sukkah. Now we understand very, very well what the problem with the sukkah yeshana is. If a guy is using a sukkah that wasn't made for the purpose of sukkah, he built a hut in his backyard 6 months ago, and then he went on vacation. He comes back, erev sukkah, ooh, by golly, this is great. It's got the right size walls, the right amount of sukkah, everything is good, everything's married, it's wonderful. It's lechadchila shel lechadchila. So says the Shtar Bechi, right, it's lechadchila shel lechadchila. We pass like Beis Hillel. We don't require a siyah sukkah lishma. So there's nothing wrong with the cheftz of the sukkah. The problem is you as a gavra haven't been yotze your mitzvah asiyas sukkah. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to go into sukkah not having fulfilled the mitzvah of chag sukkah tasa lecha she was young? Where was your asiyas sukkah? So the truth is, if you do nothing and you choose not to build the sukkah, the sukkah is still kosher. Nobody can touch the sukkah. There's not a problem in HaTorah, not a problem in the Rabbanan. There's no gezeirus Rabbanan. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong mitam sukkah itself. But you as a gavra didn't have the opportunity to fulfill your mitzvah. So how do you do your mitzvah? So you have two options. Either you can knock the whole sukkah down and start over again. So that's what Chazal said. No, we're not going to make life so hard for you. The mitzvah of asiyas sukkah doesn't mean you have to build the entire sukkah. It just means you have to participate in the asiyas sukkah a little bit. How much? Take that a piece of schach. Take that a little bit of tefach, a little mash, a little something. Take that a couple of branches and throw them back up again. Tzarech lechadesh b'davar. And that's what Yerushalmi says, that that's good enough. In order to fulfill your mitzvah of asiyas sukkah, that's sufficient. So this is a whole new take. There's a whole new world of what the din of chiddush davar is. So we thought, like the Mishnah Bura, like the most of the early Acharonim, that chiddush davar is mitzad hachefza. It's not mitzad hachefza min haTorah, because min haTorah we don't need sukkah lishma. It's mitzad hachefza min derabbanan, because min derabbanan there was a gezeira atu beis shokal hashana shadira shokal hashana. So min derabbanan they insisted that you have to fix up the sukkah. And one could have theoretically held it's ma'akib in the Yevit. The Beis Yosef says it's a din derabbanan that staka apostles the sukkah if you don't do it. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the consensus of the Acharonim is that's not true. Ram Taz, the Gdol Acharonim say it's a din derabbanan made as a gezeira, but it was only made as lechadchila, not as a b'diyevit. According to Shtermach's new shtickl Torah, you can't even discuss whether it's kosher or apostle. It's a joke. The conversation doesn't even get off the ground. There's nothing wrong with the sukkah. There's nothing wrong with the sukkah min haTorah. Nothing wrong with the sukkah min derabbanan. You personally didn't fulfill your mitzvah. What would the din be if I didn't build the sukkah altogether? And comes the first night of sukkah, because I realize I didn't build the sukkah, so I didn't fulfill my mitzvah. I knock on my neighbor's door and ask, can I please come in? So of course I go in. Of course I'm yotzei yeshiva b'sukkah. What's the shaila? So I didn't get the mitzvah of asiyas sukkah. Big deal. And now I'm chuyav in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So this whole new approach to this din of the Yerushalmi of chiddush b'davar is all hinging upon the point that there is such a mitzvah of asiyas sukkah.
Yeah, so why didn't he get the when he first built it, made this sukkah? It's 12 years, a year ago, whatever.
But he didn't make it for the purpose of sukkah. That's not he built himself a hut. So if he did it l'shem sukkah 6 months ago, that's okay. If he did it within 30 days, so it's stubble l'shma, it's probably had in mind l'shem sukkah, that's okay. But a guy builds a hut and then he wants to turn around there of sukkah and say, oh,
even question about a person built it a year ago l'shem
sukkah. Oh, you want to know? According to Shterbach, I built it a year ago l'shem sukkah. Now it's been a year's past.
You still require.
So right, nochalami. That's what Shterbach says. Nochalami. That's also sukkah yeshanim. Right. It's not Rav Shterbach who says that. We're gonna have to get. We got a while to go till we get to that. Not get to that today. So hold on, keep it on the back burner. So this entire Shtickle Torah is only true if this mitzvah exists, if this mitzvah, if we can pull this mitzvah away, so then the whole Shtickle Torah obviously is gonna fall away. So is it true? So yeah, we dug up a Shiltas. The Shiltas pretty much says it. Rather than a Tziv observes it, the Shiltas says it. But it's far from muskam, far from agreed that this mitzvah even exists. So much of the discussion, whether there even exists such a mitzvah of Asiyas HaSukkah as an independent mitzvah, or it's simply like going to the store every Rosh Hashanah and buying a shofar, depends on a sugya in Maseches Machos, and more than the Gemara itself, on a comment of Rashi, a cryptic Rashi in Maseches Machos. Let's take a look at the 12th of the Ramah Kamos. So in the Chesam and Aleph, the Mishnah is commenting on the din of Ir Miklat. We know that if a person kills somebody, or Tzech kills B'shayeg, so he has to go to Ir Miklat. So the Torah gives us an illustration of what it means of Hori B'shayeg. It's a very fascinating series of psukim in Pesach Shoftim. Usually the Torah just gives us a din, and that's it, and uses it up to our imagination to conjure up what the image was. So here the Torah holds a hand and says, let's describe to you, this is the model, this is the case. Let's draw your picture on the board, this is the case, and then you extrapolate from this case to all similar cases. So what's the case? The Torah says, who's the ultimate Hori B'shagig? Vashir Yevos Re'eo Bayar Lachto Veitzim. So the Torah describes a guy, he's chopping his wood, and then he yells, timber, whatever he yells, and then Yadova goes in, and a Shalab Rezominates. And then something goes flying, and the thing that goes flying goes and kills the other person. It was B'shagig. What exactly goes flying? So it's not even clear. It's interesting. The other Torah goes out of its way, wants to make it clear as day that the Torah says, we're going to tell you exactly what the case is, and it describes the guy chopping the wood and something's flying, v'nosh labaz leitz, and as Machlekes HaTorah Maseches Machos, what went flying? Is it the blade of the axe went flying and when Chalila killed somebody? Or that part of the wood, when the Shalat Barzim and Eitz, and part of the wood went flying. So the whole technical machloek is Rebbe and the Rabban in Sechem Barak B'Sechem Makas. But something went flying and somebody got killed. So the Tanoim says, if the Torah went out of its way to give us this model of Asher Yovos Rebbe Yair Lach Tameitz of chopping wood, it wasn't just time to make life easier for us. That's just to draw us a picture, but to teach us that the only time that a Ritzech B'Shege goes to Yer Miklat, if it's similar to this model. What does it mean, similar to the model? It doesn't have to be identical to the model, but it has to have similar properties, similar characteristics to this model. What are some of the important characteristics? So the Mishnah says in the 12th of the Ramah Kamos, Abishol Omer, Macha Tovas Eitzim Rishus, Afkol Rishus. The person who's chopping wood is not involved in any great mitzvah. He's doing a Tovas Rishus. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with chopping wood if you're careful. No aveira in chopping wood, no great mitzvah chopping wood either. So for the fact that the Torah gave us the illustration, the example of Adavos HaRishus, this comes to teach us, Yotza comes to exclude any time somebody is involved in an activity that itself is a mitzvah. It's just that, unfortunately, the mitzvah was done in an inappropriate manner. First, he went overboard, didn't do what he was supposed to do, and then ended up, Rachman Litzan, killing somebody in the process. So the only time that you go to your miklat is if you were doing a davar shor mitzvah. If you were doing a davar shor mitzvah, even though you made a terrible mistake, you did a terrible, terrible thing, don't make light of it, but afal pi kein, you don't go to your miklat. What are the three examples of somebody who never killed somebody derech mitzvah? So the Mishnah gives the three examples, Yotza Ava Makis Beno, V'Rava Rodes Tamido, V'Shaliach Bezdin. Whenever we learn this with the little kids, we always try to quickly gloss over this line. So we're not commenting on anything. We're not commenting on any forms of punishment, either in the house or in school. We're just reading what the Mishnah says. If the father is hitting the son for the purposes of chinuch, so that's considered to be Isaac Davashal Mitzvah, with the Rav over this Tamido, or the Shlich Beizdin. If the Shlich Beizdin was appointed to give Makos to somebody, so he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. It's a mitzvah of the Torah to give Makos Nebuch to the person who's Chai Makos. And then a terrible, terrible thing happened. We know the Torah is so careful about giving Makos that you're not allowed to give more than he deserves, you're not allowed to give more than 39, and even that you're not allowed to give if he's not a strong person. You have to evaluate, and the Mishnah describes a Makos. They bring a doctor there to check out to make sure that he can take it, and if he can't, it's also to give him extra Makos. But with all the care and everything, at the end of the day, the person died. So the Mishnah says that since the Shaliach Beis Din was doing what he was supposed to be doing, so there's a p'tur from going to Yer Miklat. So the starting point for this din is the Mashal of Chatavas Eitzim. The chopping wood is a Davar Shel Rishus. So basically what Abishol is telling us is that Chatavas Eitzim is always a davash rishus. There's no case of Chatavas Eitzim Shal Mitzvah. There's no case in the halacha that there's a mitzvah to chop wood. And therefore, that's the example par excellence of a davash rishus. So the Gemara questions, is that true? So the Gemara in the end of the 12th of the Ramah Kaimus, Ami Ami Abad in the Rabbah. How do you know that the case in Parsha Shoftim is chopping wood for davar shoreshus? The Torah doesn't say what he's chopping, what his purpose is. The Torah speaks in global terms, general terms. A guy, Reuben's chopping wood. Maybe Hacham Amayaskin is chopping wood for a mitzvah. That's also included in the mashal, in the illustration of chopping wood. And what would be an example of a chopping wood for a mitzvah? Do mechatavas eitzim de sukkah. He's chopping wood for sukkah. Mechatavas eitzim de maracha. Or to put on the mizbech. We'll leave that out for now. We're focusing on the sukkah part. If you have filu hachi, even though the Torah could also potentially be speaking about chopping wood for sukkah, the Torah still says, Abrachman aligli, let him go out to go. Let him go to your mikvah. So your starting point, Abishol, was that the mashal, the example of chatavas eitzim, is inconceivable to talk about mitzvah. There's nothing under the sun. Nobody ever chops wood for a makom mitzvah. What do you mean? It's a big makom mitzvah. It's for a sukkah. So Rava responded to defend what Abishol said, Amalehu, Kevin the matza chot of lav mitzvah, shtanam lav mitzvah. Rava says, and what if the guy would have found logs of wood on the floor? So there's a mitzvah to chop a tree? Let's tell us. There's no mitzvah to chop a tree. If there would have been, v'dabashem moshlema, chop wood for sukkah, that would have been a davashem mitzvah. He heard. If the wood is chopped already, so good, I go to the store, I buy logs of wood. It's also good, but I don't have to chop my own wood for the sukkah. So therefore, if he did, the chopping of the wood is not labeled as a mitzvah, and therefore could serve as the example, as the prime example of something that is a davar shavashos. So, Adkan divrei
HaGemara. Found a student that was paying attention in class.
That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara asked that very question. What about the student? Yes, one of the students paying attention, then you know if they hit him also. The Gemara talks about that very topic. Right. So we'll leave it out, but only the kids while listening on the sheer white Torah again, you know what I'm saying. So comes Rashi on the spot and explains, what does the Gemara mean that the chatavas eitzim, the chopping of the wood for the sukkah, is not a mitzvah? So listen now, look very, very carefully how Rashi formulates this in the 13th of the Ramah Kamas. Hashtanami, kilo matzah chatuva, even if this guy, Taka, didn't find chopped wood, he's going to go chop the wood. The chopping of the wood can't be labeled independently as a mitzvah, because since it doesn't really have to be done, you could avoid it, simply avoid it by having pre-chopped wood, and there's nothing wrong with that. So the chatavas eitzim is not a mitzvah. But it's the next three words of Rashi that are critical. Rashi says, so the chatavas is not a mitzvah, ela asiyas asukah. So how do you translate those three words, ela asiyas asukah? So the Netziv translated those words as follows. The chatavas eitzim, that's not a mitzvah. That's garnish. That's not necessary. That's not called part of the mitzvah because it's easily avoided. But you want to know what is a mitzvah? El asiyas asukkah, the making of the sukkah itself, the putting of the schach on top of the sukkah, das is a mitzvah. That's the mitzvah. What mitzvah is it? So says the Netziv in his perush. He has a running perush on the Shiltas. Ayin the Shiltas, exactly what the Shiltas says. Mitzvah's essay to make a sukkah. The Chag HaSukkah is Tassel L'Chashiv is Yavim. So the Shiltas sticks Rashi into the same camp. I'm sorry, the Netziv sticks Rashi into the same camp as the Shiltas and says, Rashi and these three words tucked away in Masechus Makas and Nefchesim and Aleph, Rashi commits himself with those three words, El Asiyas HaSukkah, to telling me that Asiyas HaSukkah is a mitzvah. Chatov Zeitzim. Chatov Zeitzim is too far removed. That's so far, 20 steps before building the sukkah, and that you don't really have to do. But the asiyas asukkah that you do have to do, that's not elevated to the status of a mitzvah.
The walls are the schach.
Pasha is just the schach. The walls are already, most probably not. Because as we said before, everything that the Torah speaks about sukkah refers to schach. Lesh olik Reb Chaim, that mitzvah gavra. So even the walls are part of the sukkah, it's already a whole other.
So what was the havam here? What was the wood for? The wood was for schach?
Schach, yeah. Pashas. So that's what the Netziv learned pshat, and Sturmach is very excited about this because he found another rishon on the side of the Shiltas, a Rashi now in Makas of Chesed and Aleph, that there is in fact a mitzvah of asiyas asukkah. However, other Echorim said that that's not what Rashi meant. Not only is that not what Rashi meant the exact opposite. Listen to the other way of reading the Rashi. Put on the back burner what I just told you for the Netziv. Let's read the same Rashi again. Hashanami kilo matzah chatuva eina chatova mitzvah. Chatova zeitzim, that's a mitzvah. That's a garnish. That's a nothing. You want to know what it is? It's Ella Asiyas HaSukkah. You want to know what chopping wood is? Chopping wood is Besh, man. It's a garnish. It's merely building a sukkah. And what is building a sukkah? a garnished, a bashman, nothing, zero. So whereas in its Sturmbach learning that ain't a chatava mitzvah, period, end of statement almost. Chatava is nothing, but you want to know what is something? Ooh, the asiyas asukha dosas, that's a mitzvah. But the other way of reading Rashi is, you want to know just how nothing chatava seitzim is? It's as nothing, as meaningless as asiyas asukha, which of course is a nothing also. But there are two valid ways in the Gedolei Achronim how to read Rashi. So according to the Tziv's way of reading Rashi, the Rashi is right in the same team as the Shultas. According to the other way of reading Rashi, Rashi is the diametrically opposed to the Shultas.
How would we read Rashi in another Makor in the Gemara where he uses the word Ella?
Yeah, the problem is the word Ella could mean either way. The word it uses the word Ella 10,000 times. The word Ella can mean different things. Right. Ella means not this, but rather that. The question is, what's the but rather that defining? Is it a but rather something totally different, or is it but rather going back in the first? It's not clear. It's not clear from the three words of Rashi. Ella siyas sukkah. It's not clear. So now that we have absolute lack of clarity in the Rishon, the only thing we know is the Shultas. Shultas said it, and we have no idea whether Rashi buys into it or not. And our Shturmer's whole Shtikl Torah is hinging on the truth of the Shultas Shita. Do we have any Rashi in the Gemara? Are there any sources in the Gemara itself? You know, it seems a little bit strange that we're talking about the mitzvah, the possibility of a mitzvah of a Asiyas HaSukkah, and we're learning Masechah HaSukkah. And the best we can come up with is a sugya of Masechah Machas Davchas. Wouldn't it appear somewhere in between the lines of Masechah HaSukkah? So there is a Gemara that's not in Masechah HaSukkah itself, but at least it's a little bit closer to the sugya of Sukkah, and that's the 14th of Ramah Kamos. That's the sugya of Menachas Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara in Menachas has the following comment. When a person is building a sukkah, when we read, when the Gemara gives us the whole text of a bracha, so, you know, we get really, really nervous. We wouldn't say Shem Hashem. We would read the bracha Hashem. We would never say Hashem's name when reading the Gemara. But many Achronim write, you're allowed to say Hashem's name. Because you're not saying it's a bracha. You're reading the text of the Gemara. So the text of the Gemara, you're allowed to say Hashem's mamash, Shem Hashem, the Elokeinu, the whole works. So the Olam doesn't know that way. But many places say it's okay. Why is that important? It's a total side point. Some Achronim write, if a guy has a Safi brachas, he's not sure. Is he mechuyev to make a shechiyon or not? So you know what he should do? He should open up Gemara Menachas Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and he should read Ha'isa Sukkah Yatzma and have him one. If I'm chayev to make shechiyon, if not, I'm just reading the Gemara. Ha'isa Sukkah Yatzma. Baruch Hashem. He says the Shem Hashem. He's not mishayetze. Even though there are poskim who write that, I've never seen anybody do that. It's such a very, very gutsy move, but there are poskim who say it's a gavalka eitzim. And now, balei sheba. So the person said shechenu when he built the sukkah. Balei sheba now when sukkah's night comes and he wants to sit in the sukkah. Omer, baruch Hashem, look at the sukkah. Again, the guy can pull off the same stunt. You know, the guy on sukkahs, I always say sukkahs is either very good for your diet or very bad for your diet. Why? Because we follow the view of a many time that you don't make an elation with sukkah every time you walk into a sukkah. You only make it when you're technically mechuyev to eat in the sukkah, either on the bread or on the venice, etc. So the guy walks into the sukkah, so he feels bad. He really wants to make an elation with sukkah. According to the Rambam, you can just sit down the sukkah for a second and make an elation with sukkah and then walk out. But the Ashkenazi, that custom is, like Rabbi Natan, we try to avoid making a bracha, and then Shemam is Yotzei the sukkah. So you walk into the sukkah, you want to learn for a few minutes, but you feel bad, where's the bracha? So you start scrounging around for cookies. So now cookies, it's got to be more than a kibbetz of cookies, something even more machman than that. Big kibbetz and everything. So there are two different approaches to this. So some people will say, listen, I want to make the bracha, so I go for the big shiur, and then you leave the sukkah, come back an hour later, and big shiur, by 7 days of big shiurim, so you have something else that's big. So that's those people. And if other people say, listen, you know, I don't want to get involved in the stuffy brachas, so I'm not going to touch the cookies, I'm not going to go into the sukkah, you know, so the guy stays away from everything. So again, different people have different approaches to how to be yotzei the brachas. So this would be a great idea. You can save a few pounds on sukkahs. Every time you walk into the sukkah, you're not sure whether you have to make a bracha. Just read the Gemara Menachas, Ben Beis Amud Aleph, for the Shem Hashem, Shem Hashem, and you'll be Yotzei. But again, most people don't do that. So the Gemara says that when you build the sukkah, you make shechiyanu. When you sit in the sukkah, you make leishim b'sukkah. V'laso sukkah lo mevarech. But lo and behold, there's no bracha of laso sukkah. When you build the sukkah, there's no mention of the bracha of laso sukkah. All there is shechiyanu. So of course, we will realize we don't even make shechiyanu when we build the sukkah. The Gemara quotes a lady, Rabbi Roy, who said, if you're already going to sit in the sukkah's night and make kiddush, make the Shechiyanu then also. But Me'ikir Adin, you can make the Shechiyanu before Sukkah when you build the Sukkah. But lo and behold, Shechiyanu you can make before, but Las of Sukkah you don't make. So the multi-million dollar question is, what conclusion do we draw from that? From the fact that Shechiyanu, yes, and Las of Sukkah, no. What does that tell us about the Asiyas HaSukkah? Does that tell us it is a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow. So we'll try to figure it out tomorrow or whenever the next Shia is there.